space cowboy.
Yeah. Jokic coming in and he scores it off. Nice play. Porter on his horse. Porter indeed. Give it to Jok. Put it away. Now Jokic has it. In on Jackson. You know, I think there's a little friction there between Jokic and Jaren Jackson. Pass it out behind the back. Over to Gillespie. Into Jokic. No! Jok, tap it in. Jokic has a 10-footer and he rattles it in. Maybe the ball to Porter. No, instead to Jokic. He's going to shoot a foot. Got it! Now Nikola Jokic, he's been working more on his outside shooting. Caldwell Pope, bouncing under. Jokic floated up and in. So Jokic. Now Jokic, six to shoot. And a muscle Jackson and puts it up and in, right in his face. Here Jokic has it. On the dribble drive. There's a tough shot. Missed it. Tip it up, no. Put it up. Yes! So the big tipper is going to work. And a good box out that time by Peyton
Joker.
Jokic is a one. At home.
And Jokic wheels around everybody, pops it in. And Jokic now at 29.
Yeah, that's good. This is Joker's song now, right? Yeah. Gotta love that. Nikola Jokic with quite the game last night. 29 points, 11 boards, 8 assists. 3 steals, and I found out through the social media interwebs, facings, whatever, that his go-to when it comes to karaoke is that song that you just played, Angel. So, yeah, that's fitting for him. And he had the kind of jokery shoes on last night. That's a guy that's embracing the inner comic book villain that is the infamous Joker. Oh, man. No Murray, no problem.
No, he's the clown prince of crime.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
He was committing crimes left and right when it comes to basketball. And he's going for the whale, man. Harrison Wynn call it? The white whale for Nikola Jokic. He's trying to get that, you know, when he gets fouled on the other side of on the team side of the floor, the opponent side of the floor, when he gets a steal or whatever, he tries to just launch it, hoping he'll get the foul. Hasn't got it yet, but last night, by the law of the land, the law of this game, that should have been a foul. He should have been shooting 3 free throws. You can't try to interpret whether or not they were actually shooting a logical shot. It's the motion of it. That was a shot. Joker should have been to the free throw. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Memphis is tanking. The Nuggets are 10 games away from, well, 10 away from getting into the playoffs. They're already in, but they're just now it's just about racking up enough to secure that number one seed, and they're certainly doing that. 51-21, Angel. They need, if they want to tie the record, 6 out of 10. If they want to break the regular season record, 7 out of 10. Not out of the question, considering they're 15-2 since the All-Star break. And, you know, they did this without Jamal Murray last night, and this is just a team that's really, really gelling at this stage. And I mean, they mean business. And a game where there's no Jamal Murray, Reggie Jackson steps right up and does his thing. And you know, you see MPJ with 11 points, 4 boards, 2 assists. A nice game for him considering the circumstances, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. It's been a weird, 2 years for the Porter family. So we'll discuss that coming up. No Aaron Gordon in this game. And we got some fun stuff on that as well. I want to talk, well, not that he was out, but just remembering back to when the Nuggets made that trade to get Aaron Gordon. You know, I put it out there. Second best trade in Colorado sports history. And, you know, Woody Page is going at me on this. He's wrong on 2 of them. But we'll discuss. He's giving me a list of guys, and well, I said second best, and he listed Elway, so you don't need to list Elway. You're already not reading the rule book there, Woody. And I, you know, no disrespect. I grew up on your stuff, but a couple of those guys, you know, Peter Forsberg was with he was a Quebec before he was an Av, and then he was part of the transition over here. The trade happened when they were, or the Nordiques, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's when that happened. So it wasn't a trade that happened in Colorado sports history. It didn't happen in this soil in the state of Colorado. So we'll get into that. A lot of fun though for the Nuggets. Just a blast of a game. I mean, they've scored almost 40 points in the first period.
How about Christian Brown showing up in the Gonzaga jersey?
Hey, he's better than me. He honors bets. He honored it. It was with Strother, right? They had the bet, and so he had to wear the Gonzaga jersey and take all the pictures and do all that stuff. And I love it, man. I mean, and he came out, started in this game, 17 points for him, 5 boards and 2 assists.
Do you think he plays better in March?
Something about it.
Something about the month. He just feels that energy.
Now, I didn't follow him closely enough at Kansas to know what his December and January and February looked like. But so far, based on the small sample size in the NBA, he's just a dude. And then suddenly, after the All-Star break hits, he starts getting in the mix a little bit more. And then hopefully by the time the playoffs hit, he's at that same level. I don't know, Angel. I mean, Christian was a starter for a good chunk of his career at Kansas, right?
Yes.
Is it the bench thing that he's not a great bench player? We're seeing him play better off the bench. But 22 minutes for him starting, 17 points. And he hit a 3. Now, he's not going to get up to that monster percentage he talked about at the beginning of the season, Angel. Part of me still thinks he was joking about that because he just doesn't seem to be that guy. But he was efficient. Slash into the rim, 8 of 10 for him. Nice night overall. Angel, let's do it. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The good for me, I'm going to go with the Joker. And Joker told Coach Malone he loves nights like this. Not because he wants Gordon and Jamal not to be there, but he likes to be able to mentor a little bit. He actually says this kind of thing. You remember 4 or 5 years ago, we wondered if Joker was ever going to be kind of a leader to this team and that maybe that was Jamal Murray's role. Joker was going to be the stat stuffer and the stud and the all-star. Jamal was going to be the vocal leader. Joker has embraced that these last few years, and he says he looks forward to games like this. Again, not because guys are out, but because it gives other people an opportunity to step up, and he likes to kind of help grow with that. Dare I say, almost kind of like a coach. We've seen him draw up plays. We've seen him call out plays on the floor. What can you say about the dude? Mentally, he's getting better. I like this new thing that he's doing when he has a smaller defender. It almost looks like he's throwing it off the rim to himself, gets the board, but he knows he can reset that way and goes up and gets an and one. I mean, the guy is a student of the game and just does something more unique every single night, 2 assists short of the triple-double. But you got the dub, more importantly. The bad is Joker's white whale. He can't seem to get that Hail Mary 3-point foul call to go his way. He sees a guy run at him, so he launches it, and it looked like a shot, Angel. Guy came down on him. That was a foul. So when are the refs going to... That's the rule. That's a foul. If it would have been 1 second left and he would have went up and that would have happened, they would have called a foul and sent him to the free throw line, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to do it at all points in the game. Angel, this is a tough one. The ugly is the story coming out of the NBA. NBA is now kind of... I don't know how deep of an investigation we're getting into right now. But Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter, Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, is under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months, multiple sources told ESPN on Monday. I just love the phrasing sometimes that we get with journalists, the betting irregularities. At issue are prop bets involving Porter from games on January 26th and March 20th, multiple sources told ESPN. An NBA spokesman told ESPN that the league is looking into it. So here it is. In the game on January 26th, it was against the Clippers. There was increased betting interest on the under for Porter props, which for the night were set at around 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5 assists. There was also an over-under for Porter's made three-pointers, which was about half, 0.5. That evening, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game because of what the Raptors said was an aggravation of an eye injury he had suffered 4 days earlier against the Memphis Grizzlies. Porter did not score against the Clippers, but had 3 rebounds and 1 assist. And he did not attempt a three, meaning the under hit on all the props. Again, ESPN goes on to report the next day, as part of a daily report to users on betting results, DraftKings Sportsbook stated that the under on Porter's three-pointers was the biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player props from games that evening. 2 days later, Porter went out, played 19 minutes, scored 12 points, 7 boards, and had 3 assists. Happened again on March 20th against the Kings. Porter played just 3 minutes before exiting because of what the Raptors said was an illness and did not return. He did not score after attempting 1 shot and had 2 rebounds. Well, Angel, if you know anything about betting, they don't waive any of your bets if a player gets hurt or kicked out of a game. That's what they tell you. That's part of the game. So if you are in on this and you're wanting to make sure you don't have to try to fail, you just say something's wrong with you and they take you out. Now, they're going to be diving into this, but again, it seems like these things are stacking up. The two instances that are being investigated are both games that he left early and barely shot, barely played, barely did anything. The day after the Kings game, and that was the over and under set at around 7.5 points and 5.5 rebounds, and obviously he didn't do that because he didn't. He had 1 shot and he had 2 boards, and then left with the illness. The next day, DraftKings Sportsbook reported in a media release that Porter's prop bets were the number one moneymaker from the night in the NBA. At least one other U.S. sportsbook detected unusual betting interest on the Porter props in the games in question. Sportsbook industry source told ESPN that multiple betting accounts attempted to bet large amounts, upward of $10,000 and $20,000, on Porter unders in the January game against the Clippers. Betting limits on NBA players' props vary by sportsbook and customer, but are typically around $1,000 to $2,000. I mean, it's fair to say, Angel, this is one of the, outside of being MPJ's brother, he is a forgotten guy in the NBA. He's not really obviously he's not a household name. He's not really a name, is he?
No, he's on a two-way contract with the Raptors for about $415,000 this season.
Who bets on a guy like that very often? I mean, maybe guys that know the team well. You know, if you're following the Raptors, I don't know what the legal, the gambling situation is in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Not just betting. $10,000 plus.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
On unders.
Who has that kind of money? And I'm always the one to say, hey, unders are bold picks.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of that, ooh, that'd be a smart pick there, but that's a lot of money.
Well, and it just so happens, the two games that people heavily bet on an under, he exits those games. I'm guessing they're going to go through the history now of all bets placed on this dude. This reminds me of the freaking, I'm so glad I watched that documentary, Angel. This reminds me of that kind of stuff, the Tim Donaghy stuff. So this is big, folks. You got the Shohei Ohtani stuff going on, too, and that's fishy to me. That's fishy to me. And we're going to break into that. But the one thing that can bring down the kingdom that is professional sports in America is finding out that the games have been compromised. And not just refs, but players now can influence this. Guys that are on two-way contracts, what do they need? Money. It's easy to do. Think about that, Angel. That's an easy thing to do. You know how easy that is? That's you sitting at a bar or something, and you just happen to run in to Jonte Porter, and maybe you start having a great conversation. And I'm just not saying this is you. This isn't you. But a guy that's like that goes, hey, you want to make 50 grand? Your under's showing, I pulled it up on my phone right now. Your under's showing 4.5 points. Don't score it, and I'll give you 50 grand because I'm about to put whatever on it. It's that easy. And you don't even have to have a trace from Porter doing anything. Guy just goes and gets cash. That's how easy this is.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt if there's players out there that have friends or family that say, hey, you know,
maybe you're struggling for cash right now. I can get you a bet here. Go look at the. I'm not going to look at it, but you could look at these apps on your phone and tell me what the numbers are. And oh, my eye hurts, coach. I'm sick tonight. And
that's so
easy. The Raptors coach Darko Rajakovic became aware of the investigation shortly before Monday night's game against the Brooklyn Nets. He said, "I never doubt injuries. I never doubt honesty from players. Obviously, I've never had a situation like this before."
It's funny, Angel. I've never heard of this, but it sounds like it should be happening all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a player could say, "Hey, coach, I'm hurting. Okay, go see the trainer. Hey, trainer, this hurts. Oh, are you sure? You seem to be mobile in your ankle or whatever. No, it hurts. I can't even walk on it.
I have a stomach ache.
Okay.
I ate some bad pizza last night." Can't really prove.
You're out in Brooklyn last night, coach. Had some bad pizza.
Yeah. I'm surprised. And isn't this the kind of player that this could happen to? Because the guys that are making bank, although Shohei Ohtani's in the news, so be careful with that. But guys that are typically making bank and that are about that life and winning championships, it's a big shock. It's like, wait, you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it for the risk. 100% the risk. You don't need the money. But a guy like this, two-way player, might not be in the league next year. This makes perfect sense. Is this bigger than today, Angel? Is this something where, I mean, right now, and I don't have all the rules in front of me, Angel, and I'm just going off the NFL's, but the NFL said you can gamble on other sports. Players can. You can gamble on other sports. You can never gamble on the NFL that you play in. You can never play fantasy football. And you can't gamble in a team facility, on the team plane, bus, hotel. If you're there on behalf of the team, if you're traveling somewhere, to my understanding, you basically can only gamble during the offseason, unless you're home.
Yeah, NBA players, along with all league employees, are prohibited from betting on any NBA events, including prop bets. Violations of the policy could include fines, suspensions, and possible termination of contracts, among other actions. Sports betting is monitored by dedicated personnel from each NBA team, and the league has a team of data scientists focused on sports betting anomalies and possible integrity issues, and also works with third-party integrity monitors.
I'm telling you, man, this stuff, you can't. I mean, yeah, my poll question today was going to be, is sports gambling bad for sports? And I might do that tomorrow. I wanted to get this one out about primetime, because it's always fun to go there. Chipper's Lane's poll question of the day, by the way, is primetime bad for college football or good for college football? You let me know. We'll get into that later. But this is definitely a hot topic. And it's good for the consumer, bad for the games. And when those two things start bleeding into each other, like the Tim Donaghy situation, like this situation, allegedly right now, that is bad for the consumer as well, because the game loses, we lose interest. If we start thinking this is fixed, if we really believe that, Angel, and I know we tongue-in-cheek, you talk about it, the script and all that stuff, but if it was like real, real, it's WWE.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you joke about it, you know, you go watch a high school game or whatever, say, hey, ref, how much are they paying you for that call? Or
correct.
I'll double what they're giving you. And it's a joke, but until it becomes reality or it's proven that this is what's going on, it's mindless entertainment for us, but then it loses its mindfulness and it's just, oh, this is just cheap entertainment.
Well, bettors aren't going to bet anymore, and then sports diehard viewers aren't going to view anymore like they used to, because if they think for a second they are predetermining this, or somebody's working the books here, or somebody's cooking the books, somebody's shaving points, all that stuff. You know, and those that react to the way of, like, back when the Donaghy stuff happened and David Stern was on the Jim Rome show and Jim Rome flat out asked him, do you fix games? Does the NBA fix games? And Stern's response, do you remember his infamous response? It was one of those, I don't know what you call it, but the unanswerable question. He said, do you still beat your wife? That's what he asked Jim Rome. And how do you answer that, Angel? Because if you say no, then it alludes, or it might seem like you used to. It's hard to answer that. That's how David Stern responded to that question from Jim Rome. And if you go back, and I seriously suggest, once March Madness is over or you find the time, go to Netflix, find that Tim Donaghy documentary, and it will open your eyes up, and even more so than when the actual story came out. And now this, you got to make an example. He's probably out of the league, Angel, if they find that this is legit. You can't. You might fight if it's LeBron James and Nikola Jokic and stuff, but you, this guy, you make an example out of this guy. You make that hurt bad.
I mean, we saw what the NFL did, suspending players or fining players for the gambling stuff earlier last year. The NBA, it's kind of the same thing. There has to be some kind of severe punishment for it. You know, if it's a cover-up to say, hey, yeah, no, we're not fixing games. Look what we did to this guy. He's punished. He's not playing anymore. Or it's, no, we're not fixing games. We still have to set an example for this.
Well, and I, like I said, you know, you got Michael Porter Jr. playing last night, and you got to think that that's on his mind. Their other brother, of course, that terrible situation that occurred, was that last year?
I want to say last summer, I believe.
And his brother, he ended up getting a DUI, and he hit somebody.
Yeah, vehicular manslaughter. Yeah.
That's tough. Mm-hmm. All of it. Just all of it. But going back to the sports side of things, is this bad of me? My first thought was like, I hope Mike's not involved in anything like that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I won't speak for Mike, but he seems to be pretty level-headed as a person and his faith and all that, so...
It's not guilty by association or anything like that. I'm not insinuating
right.
that. It's just that was their brothers, and you just wonder, has that ever been talked about? Obviously, Michael Porter is one of those guys that if he was doing this, you'd go, that's just for the risk, man, because you don't need the money.
Right.
This is the thing that could take down sports. This is the thing that keeps me up at night. A lot of things keep me up at night. But as a sports guy... And a guy that has carved out his living doing this 3 hours a day, every weekday, if people stop caring and they start really shying away because they think games are fixed and they're not a legitimate source of competition, then they're going to go away. And that you'll just see it decline. This will go, I think Tanner brought this up with Brian and I the other day. This go the way of boxing. And boxing is still... People still view boxing, but the ratings are not like they used to be back in the 80s, 70s, and 60s.
No, and, you know, MMA, UFC has kind of caught up to boxing at this point.
Yeah, because boxing got in trouble for, I mean, there was all, was it Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston and everybody? There's that was never proven, but there's a lot of sports fans that think that that was fixed. And you get enough of that where the script jokes turn into something serious like this. The NBA's got to, you got to fix this quickly. But I don't know how you, Angel, this kind of reminds me of NIL, like under the table stuff that we're talking about. How do you govern this if you're doing it through a third party? Well, Shohei didn't do it. He's saying he didn't do anything. His interpreter stole $4.5 million, even though the day before, Shohei's people are saying, yeah, he transferred $4.5. Now it's like, no, he did not. We didn't do that. That story has changed, and that's why that one's fishy to me. That's why I'm saying that. Because you said one thing one day, and now you're like, oh, man, no, change that tune.
No, it sounds like you said your initial comment, then your lawyers came in and said, hey, you need to retract that or you need to say something else.
Yeah.
And now we're getting into something else, and it's, wait, so you didn't know he had access to your account? But, I mean, technically you transferred that money. Your name's on the account, and it says transferred.
Somebody transferred something to somebody, right?
Why would your interpreter have access to your bank account?
And $4.5 million, Angel. This isn't like 10 grand from a billion, you know, from a multimillionaire. 10 grand is nothing. So maybe that goes unnoticed. It's like Office Space. You've seen the movie Office Space? No, they're going to take the idea is they're going to steal fractions of a penny every single day from the company. Mm-hmm. And then over time, it's going to result in this to the company. It will look like they've only stole a fraction of a penny. It won't pop up on anybody's radar. So over time, they're going to get a lot of money. It's a great thing. But they screw up. They put a decimal point in the wrong place and they end up stealing the bulk of it in one day. So it's a great movie, smart movie. 30 minutes after the hour, we got a lot to get to today. And I asked another question on the X account today. If the Aaron Gordon trade is the second best trade in Colorado sports history. Second best. Let that be the key. If you text in John Elway right now, then Angel's going to call you on your phone and say don't do that. I don't know. I couldn't think of any proper punishment. 31 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. I want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll get your air conditioner ready to go. The warmer weather is right around the corner. I'm telling you, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We might be close to done with snow, but we're not officially out of the woods. I'm not jinxing anything. I'm just telling you, it'll be here before you know it. When you're out working, you're doing stuff, you're doing yard work, maybe you're out, your job keeps you outside and you are warm, sunburnt, hot, whatever. You want to get in and just, it feels like you're at a resort sometimes if you have the proper air conditioning. And it's terrible. You walk in and it's muggy inside. Or there's certain rooms you can't sleep in. I grew up in a small, you know, farmhouse and all that stuff in eastern Colorado. I guess it wasn't small. There's 5-6 of us kids living in it. But my room was always like the hottest room. And it sucked so much. I'd have to open the window at night and put the little, you know, a little swamp kind of cooler, the little makeshift one in there, and it never really did the job. And I just think about that, how uncomfortable that was, because we always had issues with that, with our old house. You don't have that anymore, because you have great people like Lemons Heating and Cooling get out and fix your stuff so that every room is comfortable, nice and cool with those summer days that are right around the corner. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Okay, quick answer. Caitlin Clark. Issues with the dropping the F-bomb last night. They got CU now. I'm excited for that. I'm actually excited for this game.
No issue. I think I've noticed more trash talk with women's college basketball than some of men's. So, I don't know. Maybe it's reaching a different audience for sure.
I'm kind of into it, man. You know what I always say on this show? Sports hate. You know, I don't want to see you out there always lovey-dovey on each other, hugging it up and joking around and stuff. No, once you get in uniform, you get on the floor, that's your enemy. And then after the game, shake hands, be cool, whatever, but a little drama never hurts anything. I'm not even a diehard Caitlin Clark fan. I'm going to be rooting against her this weekend. But come on. Everybody's,
did you see the elbow she took?
Yeah, and everybody's taunting her now. And you either love Caitlin Clark or you hate Caitlin Clark. You know? And so the ones that hate her are going at her. What was the Stanford girl doing too, Angel? You were telling me about this during the break.
Yeah, one of Stanford's women's players fouled out in her last game as a senior. And there's a video of her kind of, if you can lip read well enough, says some expletives to the refs and kind of just like brushing them off and...
Now, I'm not crazy about that. That's different, but, you know, I didn't see that one. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What's her name?
Cameron Brink.
Mm. Well, this CU game coming up big time. Let's rock and roll. Maybe we'll get Brian Howell on the show. Give us the rundown, how the Buffs can win this game. Somebody's got to carry the torch. And again, don't send me hate mail about Brady. Why'd you say I already got one. You actually are into this. You're actually entertainment. I don't watch women's sports. A lot of them. I don't watch women's basketball. I don't watch the WNBA. I watch some local women's sports. I've watched a couple of McKenna Hoff Shields games with CSU. I do watch some women's sports, but I like, you know, some of the Olympic sports. Volleyball, if I'm there, I don't go out to them, and I don't have ESPN Plus, so I don't watch a lot of college volleyball. So it's fair for me to say on my television, what dominates that is college football and basketball, professional football and basketball, a little bit of hockey with the Avs, not a lot of out of market, and then, it used to be the Rockies in the spring and summer months. So we'll see how that goes. Luckily, KFK is going to have the games for you, so I'll be able to listen to the games and listen to Jack and Jerry on the call. But I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm just saying these are the things I'm entertained by. You know, if you want to come at me on that, you can, fine. Dixon answering the poll question, the Chipper's Lanes poll question of the day, Angel. And I already know, I think I know your answer. Is prime time, Coach Prime, good for college football?
Just in what ways? Because I could go good or I could go bad.
That's the challenge of the question. What does your gut tell you? Is this man, the things that he has done so far, and I'm not talking, listen, like there's bad, like you're doing illegal things. Mm-hmm. This is not what I'm talking about. The perception of prime time as a head coach in college football, is all the things he brings to the table, is that good for college football?
I'm going to go with no, because I don't like the way college football and college athletics are going with all the NIL and the transfer stuff. I think there needs to be a way to manage it, and when you have a guy like Deion Sanders that promotes it or advocates for it, I'm not saying it's bad that he's an energetic, enthusiastic type of person as a coach. That's great. It's worked. It's getting recruits in. It's the other stuff, what's going on. Like, okay, I'm excited. I'm going to have you here.
Yeah.
But also, you're going to be here, and you're going to make some money while you're doing it. Like, lots of money that's not out there for everyone to know.
Yeah. Here's what I'm going to say. Yes, he's good for college football. He is. I do disagree with how he approaches certain things. Flying Dutchman's putting it to me just the same way you did, Angel. To answer the poll question, I have to know what you mean by good. That's the thing, man. These poll questions, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to give you the road to navigate through. I'm telling you, your gut feeling, somebody is just grilling you. You got half a second to answer. Is prime time good for college football, yes or no?
Just depends.
That's the thing about the way poll question.
Is it good for the direction of college football where it's going?
Sure. That's part of
probably
it.
Not. Is it good for marketing and popularity and getting people talking about it? Yeah. He catches a lot of headlines.
So overall, you'd say no.
It depends.
It's no.
It's probably a no, but it depends.
See, mine's yes.
I'll give him his credit for some good things that he does.
Mine is yes. Ultimately, he's good for college football. Is he perfect? No. I did not like at all the fact that we are listing the teams that Shador and Travis Hunter will go to next year. He did. He said San Fran. We're good with San Fran, Dallas, Washington, Baltimore. Talked about Atlanta.
Washington?
Yeah, why Washington? Although they might be they won't be in the running either. They're probably a 500-plus team. None of these teams will be there to get you.
Do they have to get both of them?
I don't know.
It's a package deal Shador and Travis have to play together?
The way he talks about him is it's like a package deal. I do think he's good for college football. I'm highly entertained by him. And I look at it as a viewer. I want to be entertained first. Flying Dutchman talking about the Buffs. Great is great. Go Lady Buffs. No need to apologize for watching the ladies if it's entertaining. Good job, Brady. Thank you. Yeah, well, I don't want people coming at me on that. I watch what's entertaining. If it's not entertaining, I go away from it. College basketball has done the one thing that I think all sports need to do is you find your celebrities. You find those marketing gems that grow it, whether that's an LSU head coach or an LSU star player or what we're seeing with Caitlin Clark or John Adder. If you hate Caitlin Clark, then you love to see her fall. And you want to root for that. If you love Caitlin Clark, then you love to see her succeed. She's both a hero and an enemy. That is what you want. A villain. That's what I was going for. Hero and a villain. Almost completed that. That's what you want in sports. Get that person. Joker stormed onto the scene nationally when he knocked Morris on his butt. Nationally, people are talking about Nikola Jokic. And suddenly it's like, who's this guy? That's dirty. And we're like, no, don't. Don't do what you did to him, man. Don't mess with him on that.
This guy doesn't like basketball. Why would we lift him up?
These are the guys. These are the guys. These are the gals. These are the people that grow sports, and it's phenomenal to see it. You know, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, LSU has had head coach Spangley? Mulkey, there we go. Although there's maybe some stuff coming out about her coming up. We'll see what happens there. But I can't stand her. But she's entertaining. Every time I see her about to do a press conference, I find myself wanting to watch it. 44 after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron, here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Angel, I'm getting heated up here. Burnt up? I don't know. I'm getting mad, getting frustrated. This is my problem sometimes with national, and I know Woody Page, is he national anymore? I'm not sure. I invited him to come on the show. You're going to tell me that Terrell Davis, you're going to use the argument. So my question, quick question. Just sharing a little memory that about the Aaron Gordon trade and what you gave up to get him. Who'd they give up for? It was Gary Harris and it was R.J. Hampton and a first-round pick. I mean, first-round pick, okay, great, but it's the NBA. It's much different if you're going to be drafting outside of the top 10. And I said, hey, second-best trade in Colorado sports history? Woody Page comments on my Twitter account and says, John Elway, first off. I said second, so... Okay, John Elway is obviously number one. Patrick Waugh, Peter Forsberg. Wasn't Peter Forsberg? He came to the Avs. He was with the Avs already. He was with them when they were the Nordiques, right? It's either Forsberg or Waugh, one of the two. David Thompson, I thought he signed with the Nuggets. He was drafted into the ABA, and I thought he signed with the Nuggets. Could be wrong. Craig Morton, how many Super Bowls did he win? Champ Bailey? It's one of the biggest trades ever in NFL history, but how many championships did that result in? How many trips to the Super Bowl?
Yes, Forsberg was on the Quebec team for 1 year, 94.
So that does not count. So, sorry, Woody, you've already listed Forsberg's incorrect. You're eliminated from the contest. Somebody wrote Peyton Manning. You're eliminated from the contest. He signed as a free agent. If you want to debate, let's debate, but let's follow the rules. Also, Woody writes Terrell Davis. No. You can't trade for a pick and acquire like 4 sixth-round picks. And then 2 months later, you use one of those picks to get Terrell Davis. That doesn't count as the greatest trade. Jamal Murray, probably too, if you want to go that route. He's writing Jamal Murray. They had the pick before they took Jamal Murray. So Jamal could have went early and never went to the Nuggets. So they didn't trade for him. They had the pick because they traded for earlier. Maybe they didn't even know they needed Jamal Murray at that point.
And that was with the Melo trade, right?
Right.
So it's like you wouldn't say they traded Carmelo Anthony for Jamal Murray.
No. Come on. We can't just bend the argument here. You want to have a debate about Patrick Waugh? You want to have a debate about Ray Bourque? One season did bring you a cup, but one season... Aaron Gordon's about ready to go get two, and he's Mr. Freaking Nugget. How can we just gloss over that? Dan Issel? Gordon's already over Dan Issel in my mind. Sorry. All right. That's fun. This is a fun one. This is a good one. But let's get after it today. Is Aaron Gordon the second best trade in Colorado sports history? Follow the criteria, please. It's The Whole Show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Isaiah Stevens, guard for the CSU Rams, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sometimes it's just fun to rattle the cages a bit, I guess. I thought it was a fairly positive question, honestly. Second best trade in Colorado sports history, Aaron Gordon. Nuggets get Aaron Gordon. The Magic got Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a first round pick. For the value there, I mean, that's what we're talking about also. Okay, we got to get into this. This is going to be fun. Also in the NFL, kickoffs. Did you like them before? Well, then you might not like what's happening now, or maybe you wanted a change. We'll talk about that new rule change coming up. It's The Whole Show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.